Hello, Unity Walnut Creek folks. Greetings from over the hill in Santa Cruz. I'm delighted to be able to share some thoughts with you this morning, as well as here at the roughly one-year mark in our pandemic year. And speaking of tumultuous times, back in the 90s, I moved from here in the Bay Area to Taos, New Mexico, where I lived for several years. And I had been a freelance writer for magazines and newspapers for about a decade before I moved. But as soon as I moved to the desert, work inexplicably dried up. Assignments drained away, editors stopped returning my query letters, my freelance career simply unraveled. Plus, I ended up on food stamps. But throughout it all, I kept hearing a still small voice telling me that there was something afoot, something that I wouldn't understand for a while, and that all of this was happening for a reason that reason couldn't fathom. And to make a long and excruciating story mercifully short for you, it led to the creation of my book, Callings, right? But in the throes of it, I kept hearing the refrain in my head, trust the universe, which is a spiritual adage that on one hand triggered my skepticism, though I understand that doubt is not opposed to faith. It's part of it. But on the other hand, trust the universe has a noble lineage. Let go and let God. Trust the process. Have faith. Don't push the river. Thy will be done. Right? Now, flash forward 25 years. For much of the past year, which is a year of both plague and political unrest, I've been hearing that same refrain in my head again, as I often do at challenging periods in my life. But I've been trying to drill down a bit into it this time. And I've been wondering, what exactly does that mean to trust the universe? What does that mean? What aspects of the universe are you trusting when you say you trust the universe? And of course, is this a skill you can build, right? So for instance, when you say that you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust its benevolence, the feeling that you're somehow looked after, all right? Which is not something I believe everyone can trust. You know, the feeling that the universe has your back is much easier to get behind when luck has favored you with a loving family, a good education, good health, regular paycheck, and of course a favorable race and sexual orientation. But it's considerably harder, I think, to get behind when your ration of luck has included, for instance, being born into poverty, or a war zone, or a violent family, or you're living one paycheck away from homelessness, or you're homeless. I think one of them is likely to fill you with the feeling of paranoia, which is the belief that the universe is conspiring against you, and the other is likely to fill you with the feeling of pronoia, which is the belief that the universe is conspiring in your favor. Okay? So, an interviewer once reportedly asked Albert Einstein, of all the questions you've posed into the mysteries of the universe, Mr. Einstein, what do you think is the most important question to ask? And Albert Einstein reportedly said, is the universe a friendly place or not? And I think that how you answer that question is going to impact, if not determine, how your life unfolds. How are you going to interpret and respond to the things that happen to you? events like the pandemic, for instance, right? It kind of reflects your default position toward life. In a sense, optimistic or pessimistic. And you might also ask yourself whether you believe the universe is a meaningful place. Because if you do, then you're likely to trust that whatever happens, you'll at least be able to find some meaning and purpose in it, which is quite powerful in itself. Now, if by friendly, we mean favorably disposed toward us, which is really just the dictionary definition, then clearly the universe is a friendly place. I mean, after all, it created us, gave us life, a habitable planet to live on, gave us each other, all right? Furthermore, since we're capable of love and kindness and compassion, I think it stands to reason that the universe is also possessed of these qualities, if nothing else, through us, all right? But it's one thing to say that the universe has a heart, and it's another to feel it and to believe it, to believe that even in your darkest hours, and I would venture to guess most of us have had at least a couple of those in the past year, that life is still and perhaps ultimately good and beautiful and generous, all right? That even when the bottom falls out, the universe still gives you earth to land on and people to commiserate with and a mind that can imagine better days or at least remember them, okay? And also, given that we're each a piece of the universe, in other words, it's not just out there somewhere, all right? You might ask whether you yourself are a friendly place or not. Do you trust yourself? Do you treat yourself with compassion or judgment or indifference? And if you were to ask your internal organs, if your internal organs could speak, or that spiritual organ that we call a soul, or for that matter, the 40 trillion individual bacterial beings that inhabit each one of our bodies and with whom we co-evolved, if you were to ask them, would they say that you're a friendly place? Because after all, you're the universe in which they go about their business, all right? Would they trust your essential goodness and amicability, your support, your empathy for them, all right? Another one, if you were to say, or when you say that you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust it to work in mysterious ways, all right? Which it clearly does, though they're often counter to our own agendas, all right? And though I think it's possible to increase your threshold, your tolerance for mystery and uncertainty, say by studying the natural world or the human psyche or the creative process or just your own dreams, all of which are full of mystery, okay? If you say you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust that life supports growth, which it also clearly does, though I think it's a continual cycling between growth and decay and growth and decay and growth, okay? But what that means, I think, is that if you stick with any given crisis long enough, that is, write it out in full consciousness and with all receivers turned to the on position, it will eventually bring you back or forward to growth. all right, that a crisis will eventually evolve or resolve into what Joseph Campbell called a directive crisis, what Gail Sheehy, who wrote Passages, calls falling up, and what the rest of us just call turning lemons into lemonade, all right? And so one thing I have come to trust about the universe is the recurring pattern of setbacks setting me up for breakthroughs, failures turning out to be opportunities, or what the philosopher Homer Simpson calls crisitunities, okay? In fact, if you were to create a timeline of the growth spurts in your life, I suspect you would find that they're often paired with periods of upheaval, okay? And they're certainly accompanied by upheaval, but they're often precipitated by it, right? When you say you trust the universe, are you saying that you trust that it operates in a like attracts like fashion? In which case, keeping your chin up in the midst of crises or challenges should set up something like a similar frequency in the world around you, which is really, I think, the basis of what's called the law of attraction, all right? Or when you say you trust the universe, are you really just saying that you trust your own resilience? You know, your power to choose how you're going to respond to whatever the universe throws at you, okay? Now, the definition of trust, the definition of trusting something is believing in its reliability. All right, again, a dictionary definition, believing in its reliability. So right off the bat, there's a catch here, because the universe is clearly reliable. I mean, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, gravity works, etc. But the universe is also reliably unpredictable. I'm thinking of chaos theory. I'm thinking of Murphy's Law, or the law of entropy, or, if you don't mind me saying, the famous shit that happens. So saying that you trust the universe has to include trusting that it is both reliable and unreliable. Okay, that it is reliably chaotic and random, which are clearly forces that operate down here on the home planet, and which we've seen in extremis, especially earlier this year. All right, so it means trusting the universe essentially to be itself, which is a combination of reliable and unreliable, predictable and unpredictable, and that you yourself, each one of us, will pretty much behave in a similar fashion. Okay, now this requires what I once heard somebody describe as heroism redefined for the modern age, which is the ability to tolerate paradox, okay, to hold two seemingly contrary ideas or impulses or energies or beliefs inside you at the same time, and still retain the ability to function, if not hang on to your cookies and your marbles and your lunch. So faith and fear, us and them, my will and thy will, head and heart, masculine and feminine, pick your duality, okay? And I believe that paradox requires that we bring these two together to talk to one another. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, once said, "It doesn't do you any good to leave a dragon out of your calculations if you live near him." Okay? So trusting the universe and finding some meaning and purpose in any particular manifestation of it, such as a pandemic or political upheaval or anything else, may ultimately come down to staying in conversation with the universe, staying in co-respondence with it, all right? And I believe there's lots of ways of doing that. Dialoguing with the dragons in your life, listening to your body, asking for dream guidance, honoring intuitions and synchronicities, meditation, prayer, for that matter, journaling. Journaling is actually a fabulous tool for being in contact with the grander scheme of things. I'm thinking of something that Ira Progoff once said. Progoff is really one of the grandfathers of personal journaling. He created a system back in the 60s called the Intensive Journaling Process and wrote a book called At a Journal Workshop. And he said that the point of journaling is to go down deeply enough into your own well that you eventually hit the stream that's the source of all the wells, which I find not only ravishing, but suggestive that journaling is a perfect tool for staying in conversation with the universe, with the bigger picture. And of course, just simply helping you feel your way through events like this year of ours, all right? One of my own responses to the pandemic, and specifically to the financial anxiety that it's brought on, is to rearrange my morning schedule so that it now includes an act of trust, all right? Not just an abstract notion of it. So what I'm doing now among my various morning routines is I'm now playing the piano for 15 or 20 minutes before coming in here into the office to work. And I'm doing that in part to demonstrate to myself that I can afford the time to do that. So an act of trust, not just a high opinion I have of myself, okay? In fact, one of the diagnostics that I use anymore to know whether I'm trusting the universe is when I make counterintuitive decisions like that, when I react to fear, say, with surrender rather than striving, or I choose passion over security sometimes, or make the growth choice over the fear choice, or simply try to allow things to happen rather than always trying to make them happen. Make money, make a living, make ends meet, make sense, make a difference, make headway, okay? In fact, I think it's easier to trust the universe when you're doing your part, okay? So not just being patient and faithful and waiting for the universe to deliver, but being actively patient, as in God helps those who help themselves, as in trust Allah, but tie your camel to a post. Okay, as in luck favors the prepared mind, which is something Louis Pasteur told us. Okay, now ultimately, trusting the universe may be less a practical issue or even a psychological issue, as much as I believe it's a spiritual enterprise. Not necessarily about strategizing or creating new affirmations or doing behavior mod of some kind, all of which, of course, are great ideas. As much as I think it is often about sitting respectfully with things as they are, which I grant you is a high art, but sitting respectfully with things as they are, letting yourself feel what you feel without even needing to understand it, no less do something about it, and having a certain forbearance, I think, for mystery and uncertainty and ambiguity, and not just out there in the universe, but in here as well, all right? And since spiritual practice is, I think, largely the work of creating a connection with whatever's greater than yourself, whether that's God or community or the natural world or just your own potential, I think these kind of practices can help with that connection and conversation with the universe and help you strike up a mutually friendly rapport with the universe, mutually friendly, all right? Which might begin by answering Einstein's question. Answer Einstein's question for yourself. Is the universe a friendly place or not? And maybe spending some time exploring why you think the universe is either a friendly or unfriendly place. So I wish us all great good luck in striking up a mutually friendly rapport with the universe, and also in navigating, if not making the most of, these very tumultuous, but also opportune times. And I'll also add that the webinar this afternoon is a very hands-on opportunity to explore your own relationship to trusting the universe and what that also looks like in your own life, as well as how to create more acts of trust in your life. So I hope you'll join us. And I really want to thank you again for inviting me to share these thoughts. And thank you, Reverend Kristen, for inviting me back. And I'm going to sign off now. And blessings to each and all of us. Thank you.
How much do we actually need to have enough? The last year has been really interesting in a lot of ways. One of the ways is the things we haven't been able to buy, the things we haven't been able to go do. It's left a void within which I think most of us, many of us at least, have been forced to face this question, what is enough? What do I really need? What am I really here to do? Versus what have I always thought I was supposed to be doing? This is a song that asks those sorts of questions. It feels timely to me, even though I wrote it way back in 2006 for an album called Water. Hope you enjoy. What do I do if I'm not chasing anything? What do I do if I've got everything that I need? It's a question that no one's prepared me to answer. Where do I go if I'm right where I'm supposed to be? Where do I go if wherever I am home? It's a mystery. No one can give me an answer. If the usual way doesn't work anymore, if there's no map for what life has in store, what if the race is over and we all automatically win? What if the game is ended long before it even begins? What if the test has been taken and we're all passing again and again? If the race is over, what then? What do I say if it's all perfect anyway? What do I say if I'm not here to change anyone? It's a question I truly don't know how to answer. How do I live if my life is eternity? How do I live if I'm no longer afraid to die? It's a mystery. No one can give me an answer. If the usual way doesn't work for me now, well, that's a void I know nothing about. What if the race is over and we all automatically win?
What if the game is ended long before it even begins? What if the test has been taken and we're all passing again and again? If the race is over, what then? What is the purpose of time here on earth? How do I now define my death and birth? For that matter, what is my life really worth in the end? What's mine to give and what's mine to receive? Whom do I worship? What do I believe? It seems every answer comes right back to me. If the race is over and we all automatically win, what if the game is ended long before it even begins? What if the test has been taken and we're all passing again and again? If the race is over and we're all born victorious, if the race is over, what then?